Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Remember in the cartoons, there have been a lot of cartoons like this where you have two characters that are always, you know, fighting with each other, squabbling with each other. And the one I was thinking of a lot, it was Tom and Jerry, you know, they're constantly trying to get each other. Well, inevitably, whenever they're having one of these squabbles, you'll see one of these scenes where one of them puts the other one in like some big shipping crate, and then they'll nail down the lid, you know, and then slap a label on the side like "ship to China" or something like this. I know you all have seen one of these scenes, and then it's usually pretty funny. They'll end up in China, and they come out of the box, and they're hopping mad, you know, so they get back real quick and get revenge, right? Okay, well, that's just cartoons, right? That never actually happens. Some of you have siblings, you know, maybe you threaten something like this, right? I'm going to send you to the other side of the world or whatever, right? Put you in a package and mail you. But that would never happen still, right? You don't do that. Except that's kind of exactly what happened to Joseph. Now, his brothers didn't actually put him in a box and nail the lid shut, but they did the next best thing. They just found some people, the mail route going by to Egypt, and said, "Here, you guys take him," right? His brothers shipped him off to, now it wasn't that far by our standards, but by that day, that was pretty far away. They shipped him off to Egypt. His brothers, they hated him. And you remember why? Dad favored him, you know. Dad treated him like the special son, and they hated that. He had gotten this special coat with all the colors. And then Joseph had these dreams where everybody was bowing down to him, and he had the gall to tell the brothers about it. So they just despised him. And here the opportunity came. They were all out in the middle of nowhere. Joseph comes out there, and they say, "Here's our chance, payback time," right? So they ship him off to Egypt for a few coins. Now, the Joseph account is so cool, and you know a lot of it, right? He keeps moving up in Egypt. And, well, he's a good Christian, so he's a good worker, good servant. So he works his way up in the prison. Then he has a little setback because Potiphar's wife claims that he tried to attack her. So he's got a little setback, but then he interprets some dreams. Eventually, of course, he gets to interpret Pharaoh's own dream. Pharaoh has the dream about, you know, where there's going to be 7 years of great harvest and great plenty and then 7 years of famine. And Pharaoh is so impressed that Joseph interprets this thing that he makes him second in charge of all Egypt. So you're probably well familiar with this story. Well, here's where this great big moment comes, where what we, you know, the moment we would all be waiting for, where finally you're going to get revenge. Okay? Here comes these brothers that shipped him off to Egypt. And, you know, you couldn't build a bigger scene here because Joseph has full power to get back at him, right? If you want to get back at somebody, it's kind of nice to be second in command in Egypt. You know, whatever you want, Pharaoh will give you. So he's got full power to get back at him. And the other cool thing about it is they don't even know who he is because he recognizes them, but he's changed so much, they don't even know it's their brother. So he can do it without them even knowing it's him. I mean, he's just full. It's ripe for revenge, right? But he doesn't do any of that, as you well know. He forgives them. He does test them a little. Tells them to go get their brother Benjamin. And then when Benjamin comes, he puts the silver cup in Benjamin's bag. See how they're all going to respond. But in the end, he forgives them completely. It's just unreal. I mean, what would you guys do, literally, if your brother or sisters shipped you off and told mom and dad you were dead? I mean, we would be plotting revenge, I think, for quite a while. And maybe Joseph had too. But in the end, he forgives. He says, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." Now, after dad dies, after Jacob dies, the brothers think, well, maybe he was just waiting. Now he's going to get his revenge. And that's what you heard Paul read in the Old Testament. And so dad dies, and they send a message to Joseph saying, "Hey, dad said don't punish us." Right? But here's this just wonderful verse. Joseph says to them, don't worry, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Is it my place to get revenge? Is it my place to make you guys suffer and punish you? No. Now, how much would he have liked to do that? He would have liked to play God, just like we all would, and make them pay for what they did. but it wasn't his place. And I give this, I'm telling you this whole long story because if you understand that, you'll understand what Jesus is teaching us in the gospel reading. Jesus is teaching us about not taking God's place and getting revenge or trying to get even with people the way we often would like to, but instead showing mercy as God shows mercy to us. Now, that might sound simple, but I think if you see anything from the Joseph story, you'll see that it's really, really hard. Okay? Just think about yourself. Do you find it easy to leave it to God when someone mistreats you? When someone does something to you that you don't like, do you find it really easy to just say, oh, God will take care of it? Well, experience shows us that we don't do that. Here's some of the things we do when somebody does something we don't like or mistreats us in some way. We immediately start thinking about how we're going to, you know, get even. We're going to level this off, okay? So tit for tat kind of thing. They hurt us, we're going to hurt them. That's what we immediately think about. Now, one of our first moves is usually, this is an easy one, we start telling other people what they did. Because see, then what we know once other people see how horrible they were, then I'll have everybody on my side. I'm going to hurt their reputation. This will be kind of the first part of my plot for revenge. And we do that without even thinking about it. We think, oh, I got to tell people what they did, right? It's so horrible. Others want to know. And so that's, and then here's the next thing we might do. We don't want to come right out and get revenge. So we'll do it in like a passive aggressive way. We'll give them the cold shoulder. Right? We're not going to be mean, but we're not going to be nice either. Right? This will be our little way of getting even. Some of us, myself included, Lord forgive me, have even uttered these horrible, horrible words, God damn you. Those are pretty harsh, right? So are we good at this? Are we good at forgiving, letting God take care of it? Good at not taking God's place? Look at what Paul says in the epistle reading. Bless those who persecute you. That's easy, right? Somebody's persecuting you and you say, oh, Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you for that. Or he says, rejoice with those who rejoice. That sounds easy again, but often that's hard for us because we think we should be the one that receive that blessing or whatever. It's humbling to say, to be able to rejoice with someone and be genuinely happy for them. Or he says, weep with those who weep. Again, that's sometimes hard for us because we think, oh, they're just being a crybaby, right? He says, don't be haughty, associate with the lowly. Well, that we don't do because you don't associate with people below you, you associate with people above you because you want to move up the social scale, right? He says, repay no one evil for evil. Well, we already kind of did that. And he says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. This is hard, hard stuff. This is not stuff that just comes natural, okay? So Jesus gives us this wonderful verse in the gospel reading. He says, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. The whole problem is that we often want to be above God. We want to take the control and we want to choose the ways that we'll get even. But we're not above God. And Joseph saw that. He said, I'm not in the place of God. That's not my place to take revenge the way I would want to. Okay? God doesn't get revenge, does he? God doesn't repay evil for evil. He doesn't condemn and judge. If he did, we'd all be done for. And Jesus showed us throughout his ministry the way that God really acts. This is really the way of God, the way of mercy, and compassion, and forgiveness, and patience. And all you have to do is think about his passion, where he's suffering, and they're beating him, and they're mocking him. And he doesn't retaliate a bit of it. Now, he's like Joseph, right? Could he have gotten back at them? Oh, man, he had the full power of God behind him. But he didn't. And we're not above God. It's not our place to go making everyone pay if God doesn't. If we want to do that, then Jesus says God will have us pay for our sins. But God doesn't. God is so incredibly wonderful. He gives us Jesus so that we can be like him. So let me give you Jesus' words again. A disciple is not above his teacher, but when he is fully trained, he will be like his teacher. This is the wonderful thing that God gives you and me, that we can be like Jesus. Not trying to be above God or in the place of God and get our revenge, but be like Jesus. That's what our baptism is. That's why Paul says, you know, if you've been baptized into Christ, you've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. You're a trained disciple. You've been baptized into Jesus to be like Him. That's the Lord's Supper. Christ giving us His body and blood so that we can be like Him, so that as He forgives us, we can forgive others. I mean, this is the gospel, okay? The gospel is not, hey, you get to be like God, you get to be God and go and get back at everybody. That's not gospel. The gospel is God has been merciful to you and you get to be like Him, merciful as He is merciful. That's wonderful. That's why Jesus could tell us, judge not, okay? Because God doesn't judge us. He's judged us innocent, not guilty by the blood of Jesus. So we don't have to go around and judge everybody, okay? And of course, you get Jesus' big picture here, right? This would be kind of foolish for us to go around trying to judge everyone when we've got these huge logs constantly blocking our eyesight, right? It just doesn't work. Now, I did want to clarify, make sure no one would misunderstand, there is a place to judge, right? Jesus does not mean you should never, ever judge anything ever in any place. No, God gives specific places where we are to judge. We call them offices or vocations. So a very easy one is a judge. You know, what judge would hear a case before him or her and then say, well, who am I to judge, right? Well, that's your job. You're supposed to judge, okay? Or police, you know. What if a policeman pulled over, you're going 100 miles an hour? Well, who am I to judge? Maybe you're in a hurry, right? Well, no, we've kind of, the state kind of pays him to judge or her to judge, right? So there are places to judge. Moms and dads are to judge their children. So we understand Jesus is not saying we never judge, but we don't judge where it's not our place or our office. Judgment is often left to God. Paul says that God says vengeance is mine. He will repay. God has been so good to us. We sold Him off like the brothers did to Joseph. We sold God off, and yet here He comes back and takes our place on the cross and dies for us and rises from the dead. God is so good to us. He's merciful. He's patient. He's forgiving. He doesn't condemn and judge. And so we too, fully trained by His word and His sacraments, we live like our teacher does. So I bring you back to Paul's words to close this. Paul says, we bless those who persecute us. That's what Jesus did, right? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Yeah, we can do that. When others say something mean, we can, as God's people, as disciples of Christ, we can bless them. We can say something kind to them. Offer them God's love and mercy. Or He says, rejoice with those who rejoice. We can be genuinely happy for each other. And rejoice when God blesses us and not try to level playing field or you know, be angry that we weren't blessed that way. Weep with those who weep, Paul says. We share each other's sorrows and burdens. Again, this is what our teacher Jesus did. He shared our sorrows, our burdens. We can live peaceably with all. There is no one in the world anywhere that we cannot live peacefully with. I don't know if you've ever thought of it that way, but it's true. We can. And finally, as Jesus says, judge not, condemn not. When it's not your specific office or place to be judging, then don't. Then don't. Be merciful, as your Heavenly Father is merciful to you. And Jesus says, this is the measure that God has given to us, right? Pressed down, shaken together, overflowing. He has measured this incredible grace and mercy for us. And so we measure the same for others. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.